broken spleen and far pool. College was a dream, I barely survived. Then there were these kids, told me he's alive. Not sure what they were frantic about, but they sure were convinced that he is devout. They follow him even when he's not in town. I haven't seen him yet, but he sure gets around. Yeah, what's his name? He sure draws a crowd. What's his name? They're all kind of loud. What's his name? I kind of want to know. What's his name, you know? What's his name? Well, I went to find this man. I thought he might have a clue. I looked all over, yeah. I looked a fool. I asked where he is. I began to feel my shame. They looked at me where they said, what's his name? I ran the other way. I'm a good man. I don't need no help. I have my own plan. But late one night, I found myself alone. I lost my will to fight. I had no place to go. Well, my knees hit the floor and I began to pray. I was lost and confused. I couldn't find my way. I didn't know how, the way it should be. But there he stood. He had found me. Yeah, what's his name? He is alive. What's his name? He can revive. Oh, what's his name? He came to save. What's his name? You know, what's his name? Do you know him? There and behold, a trick lady came, and yeah, she was old. She walked up to me with a smile in her hand. She asked me the question, and there we began. I knew the answer, and it was absolute. I couldn't deny, and I couldn't refute. My heart was heavy, and my breath was short. The sun got bright, I wasn't alone anymore. What's his name? He wants to be your friend. What's his name? The feeling never ends. What's his name? This love that I feel. What's his name? Can this be real? You want to know the question that she gave to me? You want to know the answer that makes a blind man see? From beginning to end in any family, he can save your soul for eternity. It's the strangest story that's ever been told about a mare to a lamb who broke the mold. She said, do you know him? Well, do you? I opened up my mouth and I said, I do. What's his name? He hung on a cross. What's his name? He saves the lost. What's his name? He wants you to. What's his name? Just say I do. Do you know him?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know him? Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. You just joined the men's fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center, hallelujah, where the broken are made whole by God. God bless you. And on with us tonight, hallelujah, is our co-host, none other than Minister Jerry Cleveland. Are you there, sir?
Yes, I am. Amen. Bless God.
Well, what's his name? Hallelujah.
His name is Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was unusual, but that was dedicated to all the young boys and young men out there and old men, everybody in between. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. That took me back a little bit.
That took you back a little bit?
That took me back to, I don't know if we can name the show, but but Will Smith is one of the stars.
Oh yeah. Well, you can name the show.
What's the name?
Prince of Bel-Air.
Yep, that's it.
Uh-huh. Yes, indeed. And the music was cool, but I think a lot of the young folk can identify with that kind of music, that kind of rapping. And I like Christian rap, and one of the reasons why I like it is because those who do it, they pronounce the words, you know, you can understand what's being said. And so I thank God for that. And it's down to earth, just where a lot of us live, you know, because some of us live in the twilight zone, so we're not going to talk about them tonight. But those who don't live in the twilight zone or the dead zone, they can kind of understand a little bit of what that song was all about. Well, hallelujah. Well, thank the Lord. We thank God for the men's fellowship. And today we have a we have a title for what we're going to be discussing. Minister Joy, you want to take the lead on this, if you would.
Yes, sir. We are discussing today the transformation of young men into older manhood, boys into men, turning boys into men. It's a process.
It's a process.
And all of it is a part. Everything that comes with it is a part of the process.
Mm.
Yes. Things don't just happen. They usually go through some kind of a process. They go step by step. You know, as I told you, we have people working substitutes, lots of substitutes who are not really deeply familiar with the subject they've been teaching, but nevertheless, getting there is a process. Teaching it is a process. It's a line upon line. Isaiah says that a step upon step, here a little, there a little. So we take what we've got and we build a foundation, and then we begin to build a house. Pastor always says, you know, nobody ever gets excited about a foundation, but everybody wants you to come see their house. After the house goes up and it gets built, and they put the carpet in, put the floors in, and the plumbing and the lights and everything, they want you to come see it.
And, you know, if I may add here, the finished product seems so glorious, and they can't believe it. But you know what? When you started sharing that, I thought about that there is a basic, what do you call it, rules of building.
Okay.
And going through the process of certain things that you have to hold on to as you build. And you know what came to mind? The seven pillars of wisdom helps you to go through the process victoriously.
Yes.
You know, the seven pillars of wisdom, I know you who have listened to the ministers who heard us say it before, but number one was have a coachable, teachable spirit. Number two, a burning desire to please God and be excellent. Number three, a willingness to work and go the extra mile. Mm. Number four, hallelujah, have a heart of integrity and honesty. And number five, have a loving heart. Number six, have a forgiving heart. And number seven, have a giving heart. Those are the seven pillars of wisdom. And if you look at Proverbs 9, I think 1, it talks about the pillars of wisdom. Building this house, building your house. You got the pillars hold up what you're building.
Yes.
It makes what you're building substantial. It helps you through the process. And you see it when you see Minister Jerry, when you see them building a building, you know, they go in the foundation, and you see like they're dealing with the foundation for a long time. And then you see them putting up beams and stuff. Those are pillars that keep stuff together. Hallelujah.
Those are the pillars. What was the first pillar?
I have a coachable, teachable spirit. In other words, don't be a know-it-all. And, you know, it reminds me of one of my grandchildren when they were 4 years old. They told me, oh, I know everything, Grandpa. And then I asked them a question. I don't know that. Well, you don't know everything. Hallelujah. But I have a coachable, teachable spirit.
It takes a good grandpa and a gentle grandpa to help him out with that. Yeah, because you know, that these kids today, I guess I don't know. It might come with the teenage shift or something. They just know everything. Mm-hmm. And they don't know everything. They know Siri, who does know everything. So they got somebody that they think has, you know, and that they can go to and get answers from. But little do they know that Siri is not the real deal.
Well, Siri don't know everything.
And she doesn't know everything.
That's right. Sometimes I ask questions of Siri, and Siri says, oh, I can't answer that, or I don't know. Because, see,
Siri never gives
out what is put in.
Okay. Siri only spits out what's put in.
That's right.
Okay, I've never heard her say that. Okay, wonderful. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, because it's a programmer that programs that.
Okay.
That's why we have to rely on God, because he made everything, and he does know everything.
He made
everything. He's the manufacturer.
That's exactly what I'm saying. He is the one who does know everything. And because he's the manufacturer, he built everything, he knows all the ins and outs, he knows how to handle everything far better than we do, and he knows what will make it grow, and he knows what will hinder the growth of it. So we follow him.
So life, what you're saying to me is that life is a process, but we can't be successful in life without leaning on God.
That's right.
Part of the equation.
That's right. Now, I'm starting with the first scripture is Psalm 34.
Uh-huh.
Psalm 34:12, and it says, what man is he? I had to find my King James, because I know you like the King James, so I had to get my King James. What man is he that desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? And we've got to work with these boys who are growing into men, that they may live life and see good. Many of them, and sometimes I have to ask, what are you talking about? What do you mean? I don't understand. They have put a limitation on how old they expect to get. And they said, well, I've got to hurry up and get this done because I'm already 15 years old. Yeah, but you got another 3 score and 10, at least another 3 score to go. They say, no, I don't. I said, yeah, you do. Well, then they say, well, no, because I don't expect to live past 20 or 25. And I'm kind of shocked. I mean, it's becoming the norm now. I'm hearing it more and more, but I'm shocked that they would believe that, because when we were old, when we were young, we were looking forward. We valued the older people. They had wisdom. They had God on their side, and they knew how to call on God. In other words, they knew a higher power more than themselves and more than us, that they at least knew. We knew how to pray. I mean, we could pray some, but they knew how to get in touch with that higher power. So they were really the spiritual leaders, and we revered them. But it seems like these days, don't shoot me, I want to live. That's the motto. Have you ever seen that on a sign?
No, I don't recall that. But I'm going to tell you, they're swallowing the okey-doke that the enemy puts out.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, the Bible says in 1 Genesis 6 and 3 that our days are supposed to be 120.
Uh-huh.
So the 3 score and 10 sounds nice, but that's not the end. That's just part of the process. We're supposed to live 120. That's the way we're supposed to go. And not only that, but we are supposed to understand that it is a process. You don't come out the womb being able to walk and talk and run and jump and play.
No.
It's a process.
It's a process. It's a line upon line, precept upon precept.
And the thing about it, it's a process that all leads to you seeing the face of God, understanding God's purpose for your life.
Yes.
Understanding who you are, where you came from, what your purpose is, and your giftings, and then that'll enable you to reach your destiny.
There you go.
It's a process. You have so many people. I know you see it so much now, Minister Jerry, where kids, they don't want to struggle for anything.
No.
Instant pudding, instant this, instant that. You give them a job, and they just want to sit around and work on their cell phone. You ask them to work. Listen, do I have to? But look, payday, they're gonna be work on time.
Oh, yeah.
But leading up to payday, they come anytime they want to. slink around. You have to tell them to pull up their pants because they got their pants below the drawers. You got to tell them all this stuff.
You got to tell them stuff used to be common sense. You're right. Yeah, just regular everyday stuff. But that's part of building the man. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I told them a while back. We're building a man here. We can't fool around with this. We can't fool around with. We've got boys that want to be men. We got boys that think they're men. They got boys that look like men, and they want to act like men, but they don't know how. They need some help.
That is so true. I'm thinking we had a thing called kings in training.
Yeah,
and that's what the young boys are. They're kings in training. We have to act like kings. You know, the word of God says that he's the king of kings and lord of lords.
Yeah.
We are to see kings have responsibility, and they have opportunity, but they have responsibility that they carry out. Lords own property. That's what they call them, a lord. You own property.
Is that where lords come from?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's back from England, the United Kingdom. A lord is a property owner.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to not only teach our children who are king, our young boys, that they're kings in training. We also need to let them know that they're lords in training. I'm not talking about the Lord like Lord God. I'm talking about their property owners.
Okay.
And what's property? Property is dirt. It's all the whatever. You know, we made a dirt. So a lord is the lord of his house. That doesn't mean he's the ruler. That means that he has the responsibility. That means he is the one who God will look at and say, okay, did it run right or it didn't? Whose fault is that?
Mm-hmm.
God's going to look
mm-hmm.
at the man.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that every king in training knows the seven pillars of wisdom and puts that as part of their life. And then they can become the head of the family. They can become a property owners. They can become leaders, entrepreneurs and stuff, because they know the seven pillars of wisdom and they have it in their life. It's a process. That you don't come out knowing the seven pillars of wisdom, but through interaction with people who do.
Yes.
Reading the word of God, because life is an open book test. Reading the word of God and gleaning the word from God's word, because he knows the ending from the beginning. And see, if he knows the ending from the beginning and you read his word, guess what? You're going to know the ending from the beginning.
Yes.
And then you'll be able to walk boldly, talk boldly, and live boldly for the Lord. But it's a process. It's part of what you're going through is part of the process. All the things, you know, you've heard this. I know you've heard this before. People say, if I knew then, talking about when they were younger, what I know now, blah, 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 blah. But do you know that if I was able to change anything, really change anything in my past, I wouldn't do it. Because what has happened, the good, the bad, and the ugly in my life has made me who I am today.
Amen.
If I change it, I wouldn't be the same person I am today. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
It was a process, and the process sometimes don't feel good. Sometimes it don't even look good, you understand? And sometimes it don't even smell good. But it's a process. With that process, it's getting from you, from the point of you realizing who you are to realizing and accomplishing your destiny and everything in between.
Amen.
And that's the process.
Amen. Amen. And a process, like you said, does not, a process is not something that happens automatically or something that happens suddenly or something that happens, you know, when a woman, when a woman is having having a child, Scripture tells us that she is she's pushing and she's trying to get this baby out of her, and it hurts and it's not good. I wouldn't want to have to do it, but it's a
many times would have ended a long time ago if the men had to have babies.
Oh, my God. You know, but when the child gets here, you know, she forgets all about all that struggle. She forgets about all that pain. She forgets about it. She's cooing and she's wiping the sweat off her, off the baby's brow, and she's, you know, feeding them and so forth and do everything that, that mothers do. But the, while she's birthing, that's the further stuff from her mind. That's the further thing from her. Get this baby, get this out of me so we can start the process. That's, I think that's actually what she's saying. Get him out of me so I can stop this hurt, and then the process begins.
Okay. You know, a lot of people say this, and you know, I kind of believe it in a way, because, you know, before we get here in our earth suit, we're in the heart of God.
Amen.
And God has stuff and giftings in us. And when we get here, we don't come, we got some baggage. When
yes.
I say baggage, I don't mean bad baggage. I mean good baggage. We got some giftings and some talents. And some, it's
yes,
in
it
us.
We come with it.
We come with it. Now, I'm gonna tell you something. I did not realize until I heard a medical doctor say that when a woman is born, she is born, and in her is the makings of all the eggs that she will ever have. It's already
yes.
in her.
Yes.
They don't come out of the blue and all that kind of stuff. It's in her. All the eggs that she will ever produce in her life are in her. Likewise, the greatness that God will allow you to achieve in this life, it's in you already. It may not be manifested, but it's in there. Like there used to be a commercial that says, so-and-so, oh, it's in there. And so-and-so, it's in there. And so-and-so, it's in there.
Yeah.
The process gets from it being in there to coming to fruition and you giving birth to that thing.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
Like you said, Minister, it is not always going to be feeling good. But somewhere along the line, after you give birth, the memory of the pain vanishes, or at the very least gets so minimized that you might forget how it felt.
Yes.
But the end product, glory to God, it gives glory to God Almighty. Another miracle. They still, medical science still don't know why stuff happens, even in the birthing process. They know what happens. They can't tell you why it happens the way it happens. That's awesome.
Mm.
All they have to do is ask God. He said, I spoke the word.
Yeah.
I did what I did. Now it does what it do.
That's
the process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Young men, you don't know it all.
No.
You couldn't possibly know it all. All the books in the world and you know everything? I don't know any human being that knows everything about everything. So you need to back up on that one. Have a coachable, teachable spirit.
There's
a burning desire to please God and be excellent. What you do, you must want be excellent at it. Don't just lob stuff over the fence, but be excellent at what you do, because you're doing it not unto men, but unto God. Because when you're in a tight spot, you want God to be excellent towards you. Is that right?
Yeah.
You want him to come in a nick of time. He wants you to say, if you're sick, you want him to heal you. If you need some money, he wants you to bring everything and some extra, too, if you wouldn't, Lord. Hallelujah. So, I know, Ms. Jerry, you heard me say this so often. It's really true. Because it's in the word of God. That's why I know it's true. The seed you sow is the crop you grow. You plant seeds of excellence, guess what you're going to get? Excellence. But it's not going to come back by itself. It's going to be heaped up, running over, shaking together and running over. Is what it's going to come back to. What you do will come back to you. I said that too. But it will come like a boomerang, but it will come back multiplied.
Pressed down, shaking together.
Together and running over.
And
so
running
the process, go through the process. You can make it. Young man, young woman, you can make it. Adult, you can make it. Older young man. Oh, that's right. We're not talking to the women. This is a men's fellowship. Kings in training and kings, you can make it. You were designed to make it. You were designed to succeed. You were designed to be victorious. You were designed to be armed, extremely dangerous for the Lord and dangerous towards the enemy. You were sent here to destroy the works of the enemy. And the enemy's works of poverty, sickness, grief, all those negatives, bitterness, strife, all those kinds of things. And you were sent here to destroy that. How can you destroy that? You got to deal with the seven pillars of wisdom. And if y'all need a copy of the seven pillars of wisdom, you can ask for a copy on Sunday if you come to service. Oh, hallelujah. Or you can give us a call or send us an email. Not an email. What do you call it? A text. And we'll send you the seven pillars of wisdom. You need to know this so that you can successfully go through the process. Minister Joy?
Yes.
Hit the nail on the head. Life is a process.
Yes. One upon one.
Don't bemoan the process, because it's a process. You're born, and then after a while you start talking and you eat. But first start off somebody feeding you. Then after a while you can feed yourself. It might be a little sloppy, but you feed yourself. Then after a while you'll be saying. You be talking, you may say that, my, something like that, whatever. But after a while, you'll be in the process. You'll be in the talk, and then you'll begin to walk, and then you'll be in to learn and grow. And if you don't do that, if you don't go through the process, you know what people are going to call you? Now, I don't know what they call it nowadays, but in old days, if you don't grow, they call you retarded. That's right. They used to call. Isn't that right?
They called people retarded.
They called them retarded. So you got to grow. I mean, if you're 10 years old and you still can't walk, there's a problem with that. If you're 15 and you still can't talk, there's a problem with that. But you got to get, there's a process between ga, 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 and be able to talk in paragraphs and sentences and write books and all that kind of stuff. There's a process that you must need to go through. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, "First seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seeking God and his righteousness is a process.
Yes.
And everything else is going to be added to you. Did you, you have some other scriptures? I know you said you had one scripture. Do you have any more scriptures?
Oh, yes, I do. that was, what was that, 34:12?
Yes.
Yes. Now, this is the very next one. This is the very next scripture, which is beneficial and helpful, and which applies as well it to the seven pillars of wisdom. Right here it is. Just let me read it to you. "Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. In the morning, that is always a part of my prayer. God, when I get ready to go, before I get ready to go to work, God, guide my tongue. Be a guard over my mouth. Give me what to say. Give me what not to say." And that's what we teach our children as they grow and they develop. Sometimes you tell your children when they get to running off the mouth, you just talk too much. You just, the man didn't ask you all about your great grandpa and all that. He asked you about this. So answer the question. That's what my grandmother used to tell us. Just answer the question, please. There was a reason for that. I don't want to go into the reason right now, but there are those family members who just start yab 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 when somebody says good morning. They start to rattle. No. Just say good morning and how are you? God bless you, or whatever you're trained to say, and let that be that for the moment, because there's more coming.
You know what? You know, Grandma used to say this too. You got two, God gave you two ears and one mouth. So you're supposed to listen twice as much as you speak.
Oh, gosh.
And you know, Pastor Peaches reads, was it Ephesians 4:29 often.
Mm-hmm.
So if you speak, don't let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is edifying to the body. In other words, it's helpful.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so if you got to say, because some folk, they love to hear themselves speak.
Yes.
Because they think they know everything. And then, look, I heard one person say, it's best to keep quiet, because, it was something about, if you're ignorant, if you speak and you show you're ignorant, you leave all doubt, you remove all doubt or something like that.
Okay, yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
You remove all doubt of your ignorance. Yeah, that's right.
So,
but if you can control it, speaking of control, if you can control the tongue, you are demonstrating some maturity and you're demonstrating some inner strength.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's in James, too.
Yeah.
Because the tongue is a little member, but it can sink ships and destroy countries and families and all kinds of stuff.
Yes, yes. So as we are growing, as we grow you, young man, and as we develop you, part of that is helping to teach you when to talk and when not to talk, what to say and what not to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say. The Holy Spirit will give you what to say every time, but you have to ask the Holy Spirit, what do I say? When do I speak? How should I answer this question? You know, so everything is not left up to you to lean into your own understanding, but in all of your talking, and all of your ways, you're asking for some guidance. You're asking for some help. You're asking for that inner strength.
Yes.
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 You know, I think that was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path.
He will direct your path. That's right.
And that's so. Kings in training. I like that. Young boy, you are a king in training.
Yes. Yes.
When you become a king indeed, then you know that your wife, when you finally get married, your wife is the queen. That's how you treat her. Because you're
mm-hmm.
a king, your wife is the queen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you know how to act like the king, or if you know how to be the king, if you've been trained in being the king, then you've also been trained, and consequently, in how to treat the queen, because the two of them are royalty, and they go together.
And here's the thing that you must understand, young men and older men, everybody. The queen sits beside the king, not behind the king.
Yes.
But beside the king, there are two thrones up there, one for the king, one for the queen.
There you go.
Y'all are partners.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle, because you're not 50-50 partners. You are 100% partners.
Mm-hmm.
In other
mm-hmm.
words, the king gives his all to his queen. The queen gives her all to the king.
Mm-hmm.
There's no line that says, well, I'm going to give you 50%. No, it's 100%, 100%.
Mm.
But all of this, all of not knowing and learning all of this is a process. And it starts from kings in training to when you arrive. And it doesn't stop when you arrive as a king.
Oh, no.
It ain't over.
You could be 70, 80 years old and just getting started again.
Yeah, I tell you. Learning something new every day.
Every day.
How to treat your queen.
Yes.
How to treat yourself. How to treat those that you have responsibility over.
Yes.
It's all a process, y'all.
And how to communicate with your God.
Yeah, how to communicate.
And have a relationship with
Amen.
God.
And God has to be part of the equation.
Amen. Absolutely.
And your emotions play no part in that equation.
Yes.
It's like the tail that the dog wags. It's not in front of the dog. It's behind the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So your emotions should not dictate how you treat your queen or how you treat yourself or others.
Yes.
You stand on the word of God, you won't lose.
There we go.
You stand on the word of God and you won't miss the mark.
Amen.
You won't pray amiss. You won't ask amiss.
Oh, yes.
You'll be right on target.
You'll be right on target.
And on God's word.
Amen.
The process is a process. Young men, kings in training, I need to share this with you. Your brain, the physical brain, is not fully developed until you be 25 or 30. So you're not all there yet. I know some of you think you're all there, but you're not all there yet. The last part of the human brain to develop is called the frontal lobe. That's the seat of your intellect, your reasoning, your impulse control, your planning. That's what that's for, you know. And so you're going to make a whole lot of mistakes before you're 25 or 30, when that last part of the frontal lobe kicks in and builds up. So, but it's a process. Any mistake that you make, there's a lesson in it and a blessing. There's a lesson and there's a blessing. Receive the lesson and you get the blessing. It's a process. Life is a process. Receive the lesson and you'll get a blessing. You're going to make it. Kings in training, you're going to make it.
You're going to make it.
You're going to make it.
You're going to be okay.
You're going to be okay.
Amen.
Remember that life is an open book test, and the book is the word of God.
Yes.
He knows the ending from the beginning. And guess what? He's not afraid to share with you the ending from the beginning because he put it in the book.
Amen, amen.
He put it in the book. And guess what? In the King James Version Bible, there's 788,280 words. It's in there. But my situation, it's in there. But you don't understand. It's in there. Study the word so you can know how to go. Don't lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge God, and he will direct your path.
He will direct your path.
During your process, acknowledge
during
God.
During the process, that's right. Amen.
But you're not the only one that's going through
puberty.
You're not the only one that's going through your learning processes at school, at high school, and elementary school, grade school, middle school, and high school, and college, and grad school.
That's right.
Life itself, your first job.
Yeah.
Glory to God. It's a process. Hold
everything
on to the seven pillars of wisdom and use them in your walk. And victory is going to be yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you. Hallelujah. Minister Jerry, thank you so much. Our time is up. The women are getting ready to come forward. I want to play this the selection again as we go off. And again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule.
Bless God. Thank you.
With us.
Part
of the process. What you going through? Kings in training. Kings. Those who arrived at the kingship, what you're going through is just part of the process towards you reaching your destiny in God. God bless you all.
God bless you.
We're back in school, hanging with my friends, the cool kids, yeah, that's where it ends. Outside of my circle, this dude walks up, he says, I know this guy, he can fill your cup. I don't want to be rude, but I think to myself, what a freak show to put me on a shelf. Then I say to this guy, I got no shame, but I kind of want to know, yo, what's his name? What's his name? This man that talks strange, yeah, what's his name? Can he bring me fame? What's his name? He must want something. What's his name, you know? What's his name? Well, I went on my way. I thought I was cool. Drinking, smoking, playing bar pool. College was a scream. I barely survived. Then there were these kids told me he's alive. Not sure what they were afraid to confide, but they sure were convinced that he's devout. They follow him even when he's not in town. I haven't seen him yet, but he sure gets around. Yeah, what's his name? He sure draws a crowd. What's his name? They're all kind of loud. What's his name? I kind of want to know. What's his name, you know? What's his name? Well, I went to find this man. I thought I might have a clue. I looked all over, yeah. I looked a fool. I asked where he is. I began to feel my shame. They looked at me where they said, what's his name? I ran the other way. I'm a good man. I don't need no help. I have my own plan. But late one night, I found myself alone. I lost my will to fight. I had no place to go. Well, my knees hit the floor, and I began to pray. I was lost and confused. I couldn't find my way. I didn't know how, the way it should be. But there he stood. He had found me. Yeah, what's his name? He is alive. What's his name? He can revive. Oh, what's his name? He came to save. What's his name? You know, what's his name? Do you know him? There and behold, a church lady came, and yeah, she was old. She walked up to me with a smile in her hand. She asked me the question, and there it began. I knew the answer, and it was absolute. I couldn't deny it, and I couldn't refuse. My heart was heavy, and my breath was short. The sun got bright, and wasn't alone anymore. What's his name? He wants to be your friend. What's his name? This feeling never ends. What's his name? This love that I feel. What's his name? Can this be real? that she gave to me. You want to know the answer that makes a blind man see from beginning to end in any family. He can save your soul for eternity. It's the strangest story that's ever been told about a mare to a lamb who broke the mold. She said, do you know him? Well, do you? I opened up my mouth and I said, I do. What's his name? He hung on a cross. What's his name? He saves the lost. What's his name? He wants you to. What's his name? Just say I do. Do you know him?
Hallelujah. What's his name? His name is Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah. Stay tuned to the Women's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. Hallelujah. And it should be coming forth in about 4 minutes. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Once again, this is the Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Coming to you, hallelujah, the second Friday of the month. Hallelujah. And we're going to be before you tonight. I don't, this is a, I asked the Lord, but first I'm going to lead off in prayer and then I'll share with you what I asked the Lord. Father God, we thank you for bringing us all back together again tonight. Lord God, we ask you, Lord God, to allow everything we've done and said in decency and in order. Bless the hearers, the listeners, in the name of Jesus. Father God, allow the word of God to be rightly divided in the name of Jesus and give everyone clarity. Lord God, and bless the hearers in the name of Jesus. Father God, bless everything that's going to come forth tonight. Lord God, strengthen. Lord God, deliver. Hallelujah. Encourage in Jesus' name. And allow us, Lord God, to make the moves that you desire us to make in the name of Jesus. Father God, lead. God, bless. Anoint. Touch. Father, in the name of Jesus. We, Lord God, just submit the program up to you in the name of Jesus. Lord God, and if I have any thoughts that I wasn't supposed to, Lord God, about this subject, please forgive me in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have to, I guess, admit some things. I'll be very transparent. First of all, we have with me tonight Pastor Maxine Lee. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Elder QB Stevenson.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I was, my husband had asked me, what are you going to be talking about on Women's Fellowship this week? And I said, you know, I didn't even know. I said, I mean, because I always ask the Lord, God, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want the subject to be? Is I dare not do anything without his leading and guiding, because people being in the position, people hold on to your every word, and I don't want to steer anyone wrong. And I was driving up Belvedere Avenue, and I said, Lord, what do you want us to talk about? What do you want the subject to be? And he said, abuse in the church. And I almost began to cry behind the wheel. I thought I had to pull over to the side of the road. I said, oh, and I guess I don't know if I began to argue with the Lord. I said, whoa, wait a minute. No, Lord. I don't know if I thought he heard me wrong or I heard him wrong. Or what. I said, wait a minute. No. What do you want us to talk about? And that's what he wanted us to talk about. And I was saying, and I was beginning to tear up. I said, Lord, what, like, where is this going on at? No, we're talking about in the church.
Yeah.
And Lord God, you're talking about in a house, the houses of people in church, in the homes of people in church. And I'm saying that, okay, Lord, I'm talking about clergy. I'm talking about men of God, women of God. Lord,
yes.
I mean,
yes,
and I said, Lord, where did this come from? And I said, well, I guess I walked into it. I asked you the question. I asked before I answered, so this is what my answer is. But thanks to God, years ago when my husband and I was attending a church out in Orange Mills, I said to the pastor, I said, you know what? I would love to have a great big house for women in ministry to come to and just when they need somewhere to get away to. And he said, and you know what, Pastor Willie? You would be surprised who would be there. And the stomach, I said, huh?
Amen. That's right.
I was like, huh? What? And someone told me once I looked out at the world in rose-colored glasses. At that time, I had a rose-colored tint on my glasses. So, you know, it was kind of funny. So this person told me I look at the world through rose-colored glasses. You know, I see everything is rosy, everything nice and this and that. And sometimes, thanks to God, I had to ask the Lord to open my eyes to certain things. Certain things I don't think, certain ways I don't think, I thought when I was growing up, and it wasn't until the age of 20 did I find out that everybody was not raised in a happy home. And I was getting ready to get married. I was 20 years old. And I'm thinking everybody, oh, mom and dad, everybody's mother and father, or everybody's family had mom and dad, and they lived happily ever after. I was 20 years old. A whole lot of things that did not come up around, I did not see. So I'm thinking everybody had a happy home. Not so. And it's past my, I mean, the Lord is really, my mind has really gone through some things in the last 24 hours. Lord, and even talking to people, they know. Well, other people had perspectives that I don't. And this is a subject we want to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
And Pastor Maxine and Elder QB, y'all can, I want y'all to take this, take away with it, go on with it, because this is something new to me. My brain has gone through a whole lot. And I've looked at scriptures, and I felt I read 1 Corinthians 13, and you know, love, charity begins at home, and I read a lot of scriptures on husband and wives and how wives supposed to be submissive to the husband and this and that but some of the things that come across my mind, it's like roll up your sleeves and fight, put on your Nikes and run. Some man want to whoop on you or whatever. I don't care, in the church, out the church, or whatever, you run. But it's not always, that's not from the perspective of another saint of God. That's not what I've, you know, have always heard. That's not what I've heard, you know. But I know we all may have three different points of views or whatever, but I want our point of view to that whatever, you know, what does God say?
Yes.
And I want you ladies to share.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so. Well, all I know to do is go to the Word. This is our topic, is on abuse in the Christian home.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the husband and wife. The Word of God says, Proverbs 3:3, love and faithfulness never leaves me. I bind them around my neck. I write them on the table of my heart. That's what the Word of God said in Proverbs 3:3. This is the standard that should be in the home. And
Ecclesiastes 9:9
says, I will live joyfully with the wife whom I love all the days of my life, which he has given me under the sun. This is the standard of the husband that he sets for the household.
Mm-hmm.
And in Ephesians 4:31-32 talks about not being mean, bad-tempered or angry or that type of controlling. So the Word of God is already setting the atmosphere of the home the way it should be. And the husband should be the one setting that up. And when that does not happen, the wife's not happy, the dog and cat's not happy, and the kid's in between.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not being biblically based in his behavior and how he's setting the tone in at home.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's with his partner, which is his wife, he is really off the base. And unfortunately, there are men of the clergy and just men in church themselves who feel that they can verbally abuse you and call it spiritual. Because that takes away the atmosphere of love and just a home where children feel safe. Because if a woman, if she does not feel safe, she's on edge all the time, nervous, she's not really acting herself.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have emotional abuse, that could seriously harm a person's heart, mind, and soul.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot really act out or even what God has set for them to be. And if they're in an abusive relationship, there are times that you may have to go to the state, the National Abuse and Violence Hotline.
Mm-hmm.
We have the numbers for that. But we want to base everything on the Bible first.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have to go there, we will.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible even says, even if you have ought against your brother,
mm-hmm.
you go to them yourself. Then you go with a friend, then you take it before the church. I believe the same format can be in a situation like this.
Mm-hmm.
God bless.
Thank you.
Thank praise God. Mm. Amen. Complete invitation. Amen. Domestic violence in the Christian home. And this, we see it over and over and over and over.
Yes.
We got to remember the meaning for it is mistreatment,
mm-hmm.
Importation, violence, and threatening of all the things in all the
yes.
Praise God, but this happens in the Christian family, and it a lot of pastors and pastors' wives. Men, praise God. And sometimes we look at some of these he has to go through.
Mm-hmm.
You say this is some of these we have to go through. And you say, well, that's nasty why you say that. Because God is holding and making us into the vessel that he wants us to be. And we have to get in tune with God, get down on our knees and cry out for God to intervene, okay? And some of it God will allow it to happen to us. I want you to look at the 16th chapter of Genesis. Now, all of this, the starts of these starts from Genesis to Revelation, because tonight we're just going to go into Genesis, okay?
All right.
In Genesis, the 16th chapter, the 11th verse, okay, it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard thy affliction.
Yes.
Alone, God heard her affliction. Now, what was the affliction? Her affliction was that she became pregnant. She was with child. How did she become pregnant? Her handmaid, her servant, praise God, Abraham's wife, Sarah, told her husband to go into Hagar.
Yes.
Because of her selfishness, she couldn't wait on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So this brought abuse unto Hagar.
Yes. Okay.
This brought an affliction unto her. Amen. Praise God. And the scripture said that the angel spake to Hagar, that the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur, S-H-U-R.
Uh-huh.
And he said, Hagar, Sarah's maid, whence comest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee or fled from the face of my mistress Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
She flees from her.
Yeah.
She fled from her because Sarah, after telling Abraham, praise God, to go and impregnate Hagar.
Right.
There's my mirror, Hagar.
Amen.
Sarah began to get jealous of Hagar. Sarah began to act funny towards Hagar.
Yes.
But Hagar, amen, began, praise God, to feel all of this abuse in her spirit.
Yes.
And what she wanted to do, she wanted to leave the king.
Yes.
Hello. What do we want to do when we get offended, when we get abused in the church? What do we want to do? We want to flee from that because our spirit is wounded.
Right.
Our spirit is hurt. Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Praise God. We want to leave. Amen. Praise God. And we see here that God had to minister.
Mm-hmm.
To Hagar.
Yes.
And he sent the angel of the Lord and said to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered or multitudes. But God did. He blessed her.
Yes.
In her affliction. He let her know that he these changes. See, we go through spiritual change. We go through emotional changes. We go through physical change. Amen. Because of what people say and do to us.
Yes.
And they don't even realize that the enemy is using them to try to get us out of the camp, to try to get us out of the house of the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
And this happens at a year after year after year after year. Praise God. I remember, amen, growing up in the church. And I was telling Pastor Willie Bird, I was telling her, I said, I remember the story which in the story it was told that the husband, he was a minister.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and he God used him to heal people. And he used them in signs and wonders and creative miracles. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But when the husband, amen, didn't want the wife to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed home at that time. He went to say to God, deliver him. And she went to church anyhow. Regardless of the abuse that she would have to go through in the hospital. And one night she went to church and he locked her out. He wouldn't let her in the house.
Uh-huh.
And she stayed out on the steps of the house all night long.
Mm.
And in the morning, when he woke up, he opened the door, and there was his wife.
Uh-huh.
And she got up, and she said, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
And she went in the house, and she prepared herself, and she made him breakfast.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
With words. I know a lot of you have heard, amen, of him. But he abused his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want his wife, amen, in church. He didn't want his wife to do a lot of things. But she did it. And she took the abuse. But in return, God saved that man.
Praise the Lord.
God delivered that man. Mm-hmm. And God used that man to be a blessing to millions and thousands of people. Amen?
Amen.
Well, God used Abraham. Abraham is the father of many nations.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God used him, amen, to be a blessing.
Yes.
But Hagar had to go through the abuse. Amen? Sometimes, amen, we said, well, why do we have to go through the abuse in our home, in our church? Amen.
Yes.
But a lot of times it's to get us closer to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we would fall on our knees and we would cry out unto the Father God.
Yes.
And the Father God will strengthen us and give us peace and direct our footsteps. He would tell us in the word of God, having done all to stay, he would tell us.
Mm.
You're doing a good work, amen, and don't come down. He tells us in the word of God, hallelujah, that we are to pull down the strongholds of the enemy.
Yes.
And a lot of good. The enemy is coming against your husband.
Mm-hmm.
He might be one of our own ministry. He might be a deacon. He might be an usher. He might be, amen, a janitor. Amen. Praise God. that God has placed you to be his intercessor, to be his pillar of strength, the tomb that is one of the enemy. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. And the Bible tells us, amen, hallelujah, that women are to be submissive in this. If you be said, praise God, is the husband, you are to love your wife even if Christ loves you.
Amen.
The church went through a lot of abuse.
Yes.
The church went through, I'm going to say it again, a lot of abuse. Who's the church? Not the building, but the people.
Mm.
Jesus went through abuse. Paul went through abuse. Peter went through abuse. Matthew went through abuse. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. The mother of Jesus, Mary, she went through abuse.
Yes, yes.
And then Lena went through abuse. All through the Bible, God has showed us that abuse will come, but he has also equipped us, amen,
amen,
told us that he will heal our broken heart.
Yes, he will, amen.
Mary's heart was abused, and it was broken, but Jesus, hallelujah,
but Jesus
healed her broken heart. And it grew because it was hard for her.
Mm-hmm.
She woke up and see her son be abused by me, beauty.
Yeah.
He, in the meantime, being with him, physical beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 Lord.
He cursed that. That's what he
yes.
He modeled. Mental abuse, that emotional abuse, all these abuse, and yet he was able to stay.
Yes,
because he stood on the word of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Abuse in the Christian home,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Christians says, I can't take this.
Mm-hmm.
I won't take this.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to listen to the voice of the Lord thy God.
My God, my God.
Because you are the vessel that God has put in that family to deliver, hallelujah, to deliver that vessel.
Yes.
And pull down those strongholds of the enemy. John 10 and 10 said, the thief comes only to steal and to kill.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. But I come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Amen, that's the word.
Yes. Have life to have it more of it. Colossians 3:19 told the husbands, the husband loves your wife.
That's right.
And never treat them harshly.
Mm-hmm.
Hello? Mm-hmm. Never treat them harshly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are to love. So Shakira was talking about love. Amen.
Yeah.
In Corinthians, amen. 1 Corinthians, not going to be clear, but in 1 Corinthians, it gives you the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes, yes.
In every Christian on the face of the earth, if you're Christ-like, you're gonna take of that fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The one that we don't like, amen, praise God. And that's the long-suffering.
Yes, yes, yes.
In the long-suffering, you're going to get abuse. You're going to get whipped. You're going to get lied on. you're going to be abused over and over and over and over and over.
Amen.
But you remember, as you being abused, you yield to the Spirit of God. You yield to the Holy Spirit, and he will shape you and make you that vessel of pure gold. Amen.
Amen.
It's one example, but it's many throughout the Bible.
Yes.
And I'm going to turn it back over to Stinky. Got anything else to say?
Well, I was just thinking as you were talking, as a different way to look at that type of abuse. We know that, but when you pull it together like that, you see the other side. But even the Word of God says a sanctified wife sanctifies her husband. In James 5:16, it says, I confess my faults to my wife, and we pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
We have crosses to bear as wives. It is the will of the Father. It's not about us, but it's the station that he has allowed us to be in that will only give glory to the Lord.
Yes.
Because we know the man has been put as the head of the household, and sometimes we have to lead from behind with a loving spirit and with wisdom from the Lord. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely necessary for the sake of the family, because the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. But we have to do it with wisdom. The wisdom from the Lord. And he sees everything that we're going through, and our family is the better for it, us going through and pressing through.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And then also, in Ephesians, it talks about it, it says, parents, it says, don't provoke your children.
Yes.
That's the heavenly provoke them through verbal abuse, physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is because we are abusing them, when they grow up and go into this world, what do we see? We're seeing it now.
Yes.
We're seeing them steal. We're seeing them kill. We're seeing them cuss. We see them turn their backs from God.
Yes.
Because we have provoked them. We ran them away from the kingdom of God.
Exactly. Amen? So true. And my mother was thinking, I'm sorry. I'm thinking also, when we don't give them time, we don't listen to them. We don't act like we're interested in what they're doing. We even ask them how their day is. Giving them attention is also a form of abuse.
Yes.
And no.
We have to, the key word is to get over abuse. We got to love. And that love is the godly love of God.
Yes, yes, yes.
All of us are going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are going to miss it. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
But the key thing is, all of us have an assignment from the Lord.
Yes.
And how are we going to get to that assignment? And that is to listen to the voice of God.
That's
and
right.
Walk in that agape love of God.
Amen. Praise
and God. And not allow the enemy to come and make you angry,
mm-hmm.
make you outrageous.
Steal our joy in you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Make you say things out of your mouth that
yeah.
you know you shouldn't be saying.
Mm-hmm.
And make you do things that you, and make you, you know, hurt the children, hurt the co-workers, hurt people in the church, hurt the pastors. You know, people don't think they can hurt pastors, but you can.
Yes.
Pastors have feelings, too.
Amen.
Evangelists have feelings, too.
apostles have feelings. They are human. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
And when God is instructing them and telling them what to do, and we rebel because our flesh don't want to, and then we begin to abuse them, we begin to talk about them, we begin to tell people, oh, they just want your money, you know, and we say evil things. And that brings abuse. And God frowns on it because he is building a church that's going to be without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And we have to remember, praise God, that the enemy comes and he sits on our shoulder and he whispers in our ear and he tells us to fight one another. We fight one another in the spirit. No, and we fight one another in the flesh, physically. We fight one another emotionally. And who's telling us to do that? The enemy is telling us to do that. Because he has come to steal and to kill. He comes to steal the word that you have within you. He comes to get you in a position that your physical body don't want to lift your hands and worship the Lord.
Yes,
your mind don't want to fellowship God. Because he's hiding and he's whispered in your ear. And he's telling you, and you've got your eyes on this person and on that person and this person, because that person, you don't know what that person has
before.
Right now, I know one time I came into the church, I was bathed in Christ, and everybody knows I'm friendly. I hug everybody. I say hello to everybody. I don't care what you want. But this particular day, I came and seen the morning servant, and I was hurt, and I was in pain. And I didn't say hello. I didn't hug. I just went to speech. And you know, after that, and she said, Sister so-and-so said that you offended her. Because I didn't hug her. I said, I don't offend nobody. So what I did was I went looking for it.
Yeah.
And I asked her to forgive me. But I said, I didn't see you. And so I just took my seat. Christian in radio land.
Yes.
Go ahead, Pastor Berg, to tell us, amen, about abuse in the church because he wants the church to come together.
Amen.
And stop blaming one another.
Praise the Lord.
And stop walking in abuse. Amen. All of us struggles. All of us go through something. But you have to do what the word of God says.
Yes, yes.
And you say what that he says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving.
Giving into
his courts with thanksgiving. You have to come in and you gotta be thankful to the Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
And praise the Lord.
Yes,
and thank God, amen, that sister so and so and brother so and so made it out into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
We need one another.
Yes, we do. Thank you, Jesus.
You need your husband.
Yeah.
Yes.
He needs you.
Yeah.
Power on.
Hallelujah.
Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
They need you, and you need them.
Amen. I'm shopping now.
you so much, Pastor Lee, Pastor Maxine, and thank you so much, Elder Cuby. I tell you, this was, I know yesterday on the prayer line, this morning my husband was saying, the young people get there, the young people had to listen to women's fellowship tonight. And I was thinking to myself, you may not want the young people to hear this, the little ones to hear this tonight. I didn't know how it was going to go, how God was going to lead. But I thank God, yes, God knew. And I just thank God. Father God, we thank you, Lord God, for all that our ears have heard and our hearts have felt. Lord God, forgive us, Lord God, if we have said and done, Lord God, anything to anyone, Lord God, that wasn't pleasing in your sight. Forgive us, Lord, if we have been guilty of abuse, if we have been guilty of offending, Lord God, the least one, Lord God, forgive us, Jesus. And we ask you, Lord God, to give us strength, Lord God, to do and to say and to be the women of God that you want us to be, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Help us, Lord God, to heal up the wounded hearts. The ones that have been offended or hurt, Lord God, help us, Lord God, to heal in the name of Jesus. Help us to love the unlovely. Help us to love, Lord God, even when we don't feel like it, Lord God. Help us, Jesus. Bless us, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for the word of God that has gone forth, Lord God, through these women of God tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. I'll yield to His name. Yes.
Oh, Lord. I'll be humble and meek. And His love empowers me to see.
Thank you so much, ladies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Welcome. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Bird.